I think that was a great introduction to our message this morning, which is round about the topic of joyful service. There's joy in serving Jesus. It was actually on my way back from Zambia on one of those really long legs of the journey. One of the legs was 20 hours driving, rotating drivers, all the way from Fawali Hill on the Copper Belt down to Francistown in one jump. And it was on one of those, while I was driving, that I thought of this passage as being a suitable passage for us as we celebrate the return of those who've gone out from our midst, with the gospel. But also as we reflect ourselves on our own service for the Lord, because there truly is joy in serving Jesus. And so won't you turn with me to our passage this morning, and it's Luke chapter 10. We will read a few select verses from the beginning of the chapter and then pick up the story in verse 17. Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." And then we pick up the story down in verse 17, and our focus this morning is really going to be the return of those 72 back to the Lord, and what happened, what interaction there was between Jesus and them on that occasion. Verse 17, "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' In the same hour, he," that is Jesus, "rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.' Then, turning to his disciples, he said privately, 'Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it.'" May the Lord add his blessing. Let's just commit our time in the Word this morning to God. Lord, thank you that we can come to you with confidence, not based upon us at all, but based upon your promises. Lord, that your Word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which pleases you. And Lord, upon that promise we lean this morning. I pray that I will have words to speak your Word truly and sincerely, and with the authority of your Spirit. And Lord, that your Spirit too would work in each of our hearts to receive this word. Lord, indeed, your very words recorded for us here in Luke chapter 10. Thank you for our gathering together, and thank you for this book, the Bible. We are so grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the thrust of our message this morning is really that no matter who you are, or where you are, or what deed of service you seek to do for the Lord Jesus, there is joy in serving Jesus. Yes, there are tough times. We need to be realistic about Christian service. There are tough things in any ministry in which we get involved. But praise God, there is great joy to be had in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 is a marvelous reflection of this. Listen to these words. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Our passage this morning really does challenge us to look a little deeper than that initial glow of enthusiasm as we go and we do things for God. And I think those of you who are involved in Christian service, and probably most of us here this morning, will know what I'm talking about when I say that glow, that joy, that sense of achievement and fulfillment in Christian service. Perhaps if you're someone who hasn't gone down the route of serving the Lord yet in some concrete ministry, I trust that this message will be a blessing to you. Get involved and get serving the Lord in whatever capacity He calls you. But our message this morning makes us look a little deeper. You see, Jesus had sent out the 72 and given them special authority to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, and indeed even to cast out demons. And here they were, returning, bubbling over with enthusiasm. Something like the enthusiasm which Brandon demonstrated for us this morning. And I am... Well, you're not enthusiastic, right? And I believe there were other teams too. We heard this morning that the Machachong team had a tremendous a week of outreach to the youngsters there in near Kimberley. And indeed, there were several of them that accepted the Lord, youngsters who accepted the Lord during that outreach. And so here the disciples were returning, bubbling over, and they used these words, "Even the demons were subject to us in your name." Jesus' response is what I want us to focus on right now. Seems almost like a jarring note, almost a difficult to understand comment that the Lord makes. They are all enthusiastic, and He says, "Do not rejoice that the spirits were subject to you." Almost seems like the Lord is being a killjoy here, kind of trying to tone down their enthusiasm or their joy in their successful Christian service. But I don't think it's really like that. If you look at the text carefully, you see in verse 18 that Jesus actually is enthusing with them, where He says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Almost like He's agreeing with them. Yes, this is part of the bigger plan. Satan is a defeated foe. He will be defeated once and for all on the work that I'm going to do on the cross. Yes, indeed, Satan is a falling down. And so Jesus is agreeing with them in that sense. And then even in verse 19, He's saying here, "I was actually the one who gave you the command to go, and I was the one who gave you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and that nothing would hurt you." So Jesus is not being a killjoy over here in this passage. What He's really doing, and if we look at the original language, we get the clue here. When He says to them, "Do not rejoice in this," the actual words there is, "Do not permanently go on rejoicing. Do not rejoice continuously," in terms of that the demons were subject to you, would be a better translation. In other words, what Jesus was saying here really was, don't let this become your all-consuming focus, that you were successful in ministry. Successful service and effective service is a lesser joy. Don't dwell on success in ministry to the point that it becomes your focus and even your obsession. Success is often short-lived, and we know that, don't we? Success today sometimes equals failure or a bit of a flop tomorrow. And so to focus on success and then allow ourselves to be dragged down by our failure is not the right way to go, is really what Jesus was saying here. There is something far greater to rejoice in than successful service. focusing on our achievements, in fact, is wrong and can be dangerous. Really, Jesus is warning us here. And that brings us really to our first point, that too much rejoicing about successful service is dangerous. Because, firstly, it leads us to a preoccupation. It can lead us to a preoccupation with the role which we fulfill in Christian service. Do you notice there in verse 17, they said, even demons were subject to us, Lord. That was the thing that was buzzing in their minds. That was the thing uppermost in their hearts. Even the demons, Lord. I mean, they could have said, well, Lord, we also proclaimed the gospel and ministered to the sick. But they didn't focus on that. Here they were taking the spectacular and the miraculous and highlighting that in their report back to Jesus. Isn't it true that we often in life today have an insatiable appetite for the dramatic and the spectacular and the wow thing? I mean, people change churches. People hop from church to church looking for the wow factor. Oh wow, have you heard? Have you heard of that pastor over there and the stuff that he's doing? People say. And whoops, everyone goes over there for a minute. We were in one suburb, one of the suburbs of Johannesburg in our last ministry. And we noticed, because we got to know the churches there quite well, that there was a flavor of the month, that everyone kind of went in this direction for a while. And then when that sobered down and there was another flavor over here, they went off seeking drama, seeking the spectacular, seeking the wow factor. And isn't it true that even as conservative Christians in our more conservative churches, we tend to classify ministries and jobs in the order of their public profile? Just pause for a moment and think about that. Maybe you're involved in one. Maybe you feel unimportant because the job that you do is not a public profile job. Isn't it true that we tend to think of the more important and the less important? Those that have a greater impact and those that have a lesser impact. It's interesting that Paul, when he was describing the gifts of the Spirit in Romans, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he used these words. He said, those parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And so maybe wherever you are, whatever task you are doing, don't just relegate yourself and say this is not important. And another passage in Colossians, a well-known passage, in fact, we taught it a couple of weeks ago, Colossians 3:23. These words we read, whatever you do, okay? Not just the high-profile things, not just the things that are going to be really strategically significant in God's work, but whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. A couple of verses later, for it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You see, so our service gains its value, not so much from the role that we perform, but from the master that we serve. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. So Jesus is warning his disciples here by this very tactful remark. Don't go on rejoicing permanently about successful service because it tends towards a preoccupation with role. And a preoccupation with role is sin. And this is why Jesus was rebuking them here in this passage. But it also leads to a preoccupation with results very often. The demons were subject to us, the disciples said, focusing upon the effectiveness or the result of what they had been doing, the positive outcome of their mission. And of course we rejoice in that. We were rejoicing over a cup of tea just now, just hearing from Ryan some of the things that happened there in Mahogong, how youngsters came and accepted the Lord, and we rejoice in that. But what the Lord Jesus is warning us about here is that if that is allowed to become your primary focus, counting numbers, counting scalps, you're looking at the wrong thing. Of course we rejoice and there's much joy in serving Jesus, or whatever role we fulfill. Yes, we live in a world, don't we, of success-orientated world that focuses on management by objectives. And so you have to have a goal, you have to have a vision statement, and you have to work on achieving it and set your goals and your activities around that mission statement, and you have to seek to achieve excellence. Somebody once said, it's a term that I picked up in business management course that I did one time. I love it. Some people said to me after the first service, I don't like that. And it's true. It's one of those funny statements. If something is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. Okay, well, normally we would say if something's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And of course that should be our goal. But if we're so obsessed with the outcome and that we're going to, will we manage to do it or won't we manage to do it, that we never do it, then it's worth even doing it imperfectly if it's a really worthwhile cause, like serving Jesus. It's worth serving Jesus, even if you don't do it perfectly. Of course, you strive for perfection. You strive for success. You strive to do it really well because He's worthy of it. But if you're going to sit around and saying, well, I'm not perfect, you know, I'm not trained to witness, and you know, really I'm a shy person, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, you've lost sight of the really important thing. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You see, this preoccupation with results can become a very negative thing. And we see it all the time, don't we? Pick up a bulletin or two of some mission organization or Christian organization, and you see this results oozing from everything. And if we can't claim a result, we were in missionary service. Roz and I were in missionary service. And you know, sometimes, honestly, when you come to write your prayer letter, there's not terribly much that you can say. Particularly when you're in leadership, all you can say is what other people are doing, and your supporters say to you, and what are you doing? Well, I'm not too sure. You know, I can't chart up any results today. But we are here for the Lord and we are obeying Him. You get the point. And I think sometimes I think we are so focused upon results that we take all kinds of shortcuts to get to those results. And we end up in charting up the work of God in areas where He's not even working at all. Because it's just results, results, results. In our Ministers Fraternal here in Pretoria, we are actually looking at a book that's that topic exactly. It can become an obsession in public ministry to get the results. And of course, God wants to see. You want to see God blessing His people and blessing His work. What Jesus is saying here, if you go permanently rejoicing over that, you're making a big mistake. What He's really saying here is that results are flimsy motivation for perseverance. I remember when we were in leadership of our mission there in Namibia, and we had one of our missionaries working in a remote part of the Kalahari amongst the Herero people. It was a very dry ministry. There wasn't much going on at all. And year after year, there just seemed to be nothing happening. The services they tried to start kind of backfired. And as the kind of pastor of the missionaries, I went around and were ministering to this guy, and I said to him on this occasion, David, he was a fiery Irishman, good couple of tinges of red in his hair as well. And I said, Dave, don't you think maybe the time has come to perhaps readjust and think of another ministry? And he looked at me, said, Eric, he said, God has put me here. I'm lifting up the Lord Jesus here in this place. It's not got to do with results. It's got to do with the fact that God called me to this place. And I was duly reproved as a result of that. Yes, it's so easy for us to focus upon results. But what about when there are no results? Or scant results in the kingdom of God? Do we then say, okay, well then I'm giving up. I'm going to stop now because there are no results. You get the point. Jesus said there's a greater joy in Christian service than results. But there's a third point here too, and this is that a preoccupation with successful service leads to often a preoccupation with reward as well. What kind of a reward? Well, personal mileage. Okay? And I think all of us involved in Christian service will know that is a temptation. There's no real evidence here that the enhancement of their personal reputations was an issue here with the disciples, with these 72. But we know that Jesus' 12 disciples, it was an issue, because they had a big debate and argument about who was the greatest. And so these things are never very far from the surface when we get to serving, doing acts of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it so easy to say, like the disciples said, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. And that sounds quite a humble expression of successful service. But inwardly, perhaps to be patting yourself on the back that actually you've done a good job. And I hope everyone notices that. So sad, and one sees it from time to time, people becoming hooked on affirmation, where it's like a drug, it's like a dependency. If you don't get it, then you feel bad. And so one's service then is not serving the Lord, but it's serving it for personal gain and for feeling good and for getting compliments from people. I'm sure that is something which is absolutely devastating. Of course, it's a totally the wrong focus. It's the wrong focus for our life, not a reward. Jesus said himself in Matthew 6, verse 2 following, along these lines, when you give to the needy and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites who do it that they may be seen by others. They will have their reward, but you, and you know the rest of the story, go into your inner closet when you pray. Pray there where no one's going to see you, no one's going to pat you on the back, and do it, because it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we do have our reward, and it's interesting that Jesus says that you'll have your reward. It'll be lekker, and people will affirm you and praise God. And sometimes we even do seek that affirmation in that way, don't we? Praise the Lord, but did you hear? And we're seeking inwardly, perhaps the wrong thing in affirmation. There was a man by the name of Henry Nouwen who wrote books. He's a Catholic theologian. He wrote a little booklet called In the Name of Jesus, which were really a record of his own struggles in this area. Tremendous book. It's not an evangelical theological textbook, but it's a personal story of a man that struggled. He was an academic. He was at Harvard and various other universities in the States, majored in and taught in pastoral psychology, pastoral theology, and Christian spirituality. But after 20 years in this role, and you can imagine the kind of profile that this man actually had in this ministry. After 20 years in this role, he found himself, to use his own words here, himself in a state of deep inner threat. He says, to quote him, I was living in a very dark place, doing all the stuff, lecturing, teaching, doing, serving the Lord, but in a very dark place. And he goes on and he said, burnout was a convenient way of describing what was actually spiritual death in my life. Not that his relationship with Jesus had changed, but just inwardly he'd lost touch. He'd lost touch with his God as a result of all that he was doing. A mentor then said to him, go and work at Daybreak Communities for mentally handicapped people amongst the poor in spirit. They will heal you. And so he went. He went to work amongst the emotionally handicapped, intellectually handicapped people. And he described his pilgrimage in the following terms. It's a marvelous book. Get hold of it if you want to. If you're concerned with your own intimacy with God, read this book. He said, I moved from relevance, and don't we all want it? Don't we all want to be relevant? I moved from relevance to learning how to pray. Wow. I moved from popularity, where people would laud me and say, wow, you know, what an academic, to real ministry. To just sharing Christ with people. And he said, I moved from leading others to being led by the Lord Jesus himself. And the story really of this little book is a story of Henry Nouwen's journey in spirituality and journey in faith. And you say, if it's not then role and results and reward, then what is there left to rejoice over in Christian service? And Jesus, of course, gives us the answer here in our passage here. He said, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Wow. See, what he's really saying is rejoice in the fact that you know God, and that God knows and loves you, that he's revealed himself to you. Rejoice in the fact, not that you are serving God, but that God in his grace is doing a work in your life. A work which will overflow in grace and in love and in direction for other people. Jesus then, in the next few verses, exalted, and the word there is a bit tame in this translation. At the same hour Jesus rejoiced. It said, really it should be, Jesus exalted with great joy in the Holy Spirit. And he goes on here in these next few verses to describe the very work that he came to do in people's lives. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. That's what the gospel's all about. It's the Lord Jesus Christ coming and starting a work in us, revealing himself to us, opening our spiritual eyes, giving us a longing for him, so that really, even as we serve him, it's his work in us and his work through us. That is the real thing. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, that you know God, and that you have a relationship with him. Oh, that in all our serving we would never ever lose sight of this key to Christian joy, to true joy in Christian ministry. You see, really our relationship with Christ is central if we're his children. You know, it's the source of joy in ministry is our relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's also the very substance of our ministry, because like he started a work in us, he's wanting to continue the work through us, so that it's not just us serving him, but it's him serving others through us as we become a channel of his spirit and we become a channel of his work. So it's the very substance of our service. It's the very message that we proclaim, is to lead people to Christ, so that they would know that their names are written in heaven. You know, just that expression is so marvelous. Just think of it. Your name, if you know Jesus. My name, Eric Robbins, is written somewhere in books up there in heaven. I don't know which book even. People do studies on which book it is. There's the Book of Life and then the Book of this. I don't know all of those books. To me, that's great. But I don't mind which book it is, as long as I know the Lord and he knows me. But what a marvelous thought that your name can be written there. And this, says the Lord Jesus, is the focus of joy in Christian ministry. To know that he knows me and that I've got something to share with others as I go into life and seek to serve him. Indeed, this relationship with Christ is the very strength of our ministry, isn't it? That's where we draw. That source, isn't it? Our relationship with him, as he pours his spirit into us to enable us to serve him, to do whatever we have to do, and to do it with perseverance and endurance and stamina. So what Jesus is really saying here in this perhaps difficult to understand passage is, rejoice in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, not in lesser things. Lesser things will bring you joy, temporary joy, but sometimes they'll crash. So rejoice really in your relationship with God. As I was preparing, I was thinking of Mary and Martha. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Well, I'm sure Jesus went to their home to have a meal. And Martha was busy with many things. She was fixing up the meal, probably maybe just tidying up like sometimes we do when we get visitors. sorting out the house, putting it just right. I mean, Jesus was coming. And she was busy, busy, busy. And actually, she became a bit upset. Because she looked over her shoulder and there was Martha just sitting at Jesus' feet and soaking up her relationship with Him, listening to the words that He spoke, being blessed by His presence. And she said, "Lord, tell Mary to come and help me." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're busy with many things. But Mary has chosen the better part. She has chosen the better part." And I don't think Jesus was saying, "Don't work, just go and sit and meditate." We know that that's what Jesus wasn't saying. But there's a balance, isn't there? And sometimes in our busyness for God, we lose that intimacy with Christ. And that takes away our joy. Because we know we're not doing things anymore with the right motive in mind. That's when these other things started creeping, isn't it? I mean, I know my own life is like that. So often I get upset and I'm not recognized. Or I do things badly. And I realize that often my intimacy with the Lord, my closeness to Him, has suffered. There was a marvelous story about an old missionary, the Reverend Kopp. Friends, I knew his twin sons. But I didn't know him, but the story was, he was a missionary up in Zambia, and up in Zambia you've got these very, very tall ant hills. And old Reverend Kopp led a busy life, like all missionaries are supposed to do, and he was busy doing this, and then he was at the Bible school, and then he was preaching, and then he was ministering to sick people. You know how it goes in life, and sometimes our lives are like that, aren't they? But people knew that when Reverend Kopp used to go out of his house and he used to go up on top of this huge big anthill, and there was a little tree up there as well, and he used to sit up there for hours, they were not to disturb him because he was talking to God. And I think the point for us is, are we nurturing that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in our service? Do we know a deepening sense of He knows me, I know Him, a deepening sense of gratitude that He's my Savior, He's written my name in heaven, it cost Him His lifeblood? Do we know that, or is it perhaps growing old and stale, that sense of deep indebtedness to the Lord Jesus Christ? So we want to wrap it up this morning just with a couple of points of application. If you're not involved in Christian service, maybe there are some here who would perhaps like to be in. Maybe you haven't touched the right spot in our church yet. We would love to be able to help you to get involved in Christian service. We really need to move on in our lives and get involved in some area of service. We know that the role we fulfill is not the main thing. It's the Christ we serve that's the main thing. If you have a desire to this, why don't you talk to us afterwards? I'm sure that Pastor Charles or Pastor Quinton would be happy to chat with you and try and channel you in the right direction. But you really can't afford not to do that, because there is joy and growth in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But perhaps you are serving the Lord, and maybe a question you need to be asking yourself in all your busyness in the church. Maybe you're one of those that are the faithful ones who are doing more than one or two or three tasks. Perhaps all of us need to ask this question. Where are we finding our joy? Are we finding our joy in the role that we fulfill? Or in the results? Or perhaps even the reward that we get from doing that? Well, we need to be like Pastor Kopp and climb up our anthill. Just focus again on those deep theological implications of being a child of God and being a servant of God. We could just soak that up again, so that we would be able to say, when Jesus says, "Rejoice that your name is written in heaven," that we'd be able to say, "Amen, praise God. My name is written in heaven." But But we do thank God for a relationship with Him, don't we? Can't preach a message like this about our names being written in heaven without considering the cross, without remembering the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. I mean, my name in heaven, can you imagine anything more ridiculous? The name of a sinner up there? I can't think of it. I mean, it just doesn't bear any sense of reality that God should grace me in that way and establish a relationship. But it cost Him His blood. And so we rejoice in the cross. We rejoice in a message like this and the work that He has done, the work He started, the work He's completing through us, the work which is an overflowing work as we seek to serve Him and magnify Him and represent Him to others. Oh, that each of us would gain a fresh taste, a fresh sense of the love of God and the knowledge of Him in these days. I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me while I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's health and life and lasting peace, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. Amen.